Well, good morning. I want to start by reading a little bit of Psalm 63. It talks about the way that we should approach God in our heart. O God of my life, I'm lovesick for you in this weary wilderness. I thirst with the deepest longings to love you more, with cravings in my heart that can't be described. Such yearning grips my soul for you, my God. I'm energized every time I enter your heavenly sanctuary to seek more of your power and drink in more of your glory. For your tender mercies mean more to me than life itself. How I love and praise you, God. Daily I will worship you passionately and with all my heart. My arms will wave to you like banners of praise. I overflow with praise when I come before you, for the anointing of your presence satisfies me like nothing else. You are such a rich banquet of pleasure to my soul. I'm going to read 5 one more time. I overflow with praise when I come before you, for the anointing of your presence satisfies me like nothing else. You are such a rich banquet of pleasure to my soul. So what I want us to do this morning is to realize that we can come before the Lord in different mindsets, different attitudes, different ways of thinking. We can come before the Lord still having the rest of the week on our mind or stuff that's happened this morning. Or we can just start fresh right now and just say, Lord, I'm going to turn aside from everything else that's been distracting me, that's been bogging me down, that's been holding me back. And I'm going to look to you, Lord. Lord, you are the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going to look to you, Lord Jesus. You're the one that loves me, Lord. You're the one that's saved me and delivered me. You're worthy of worship and praise. And so, Lord, we do. We come before you, Lord, with hearts turned towards you. We set our gaze, we set our attention, we set our affections on you right now. And Lord, we pray that if those listening, Lord, did not hear in that prayer of David's, Lord, their cry in their own heart, Lord, that you would work in their heart, Lord, to have that hunger, to desire you, Lord, any time they realize they're dry and thirsty, Lord, that they would go to the well of God, Lord, the rivers of living water that you have given us, Lord, to live in. So we just ask right now, Lord, that this service would be one that would worship and praise you, Lord, but one also that we would enter into your sanctuary, your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been hearing the same old voice and the same the Acts of the Apostles, but remember, this is also the Acts of God. And in Acts 16, 26, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so powerful that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. So, yes, he's a chain breaker. And he unfastens our chains for him. But we have a responsibility in this. Our responsibility is to shake them off and to walk out of that prison. The doors are opened and the chains are unfastened. But if we stay in them, it ain't going to do us any good. We shake them off. We walk out, and we do that when we praise his name, when we pray every day, or just pray when we need to pray, when we feel him telling us that, and loving him and trusting him to be all of that for us. from the Psalms. And what we want you to do right now is that through the first stanza, we want you to just bow your head and close your eyes and let us sing this blessing over you. And then you can join in at the second stanza. We want you to receive this blessing. And when we sing amen in this, and I tell you this all the time, it doesn't mean it's the end. It means so be it. It means you're sealed in the promise from this blessing.
Thank you. God, thank you for your goodness. We're going to pray for our city. And as you guys know, this has been our heart for this house, that we would reach Yakima one life at a time. And we're just not going to let up, right? So it may seem like, well, what can our little church do? But the thing is that prayer is not, that the power of prayer is not determined by the amount of people that are praying. It's about Jesus. And when we link arms with Jesus, powerful things happen. So Tanya Martinez is going to pray for our city. She's going to release something. And if you guys would just partner in agreement with her today, that'd be great.
Oh, Heavenly Father, God, we know that you are in charge of everything, and that you have all of this, everything that we're seeing right now, that you knew this was going to happen, all of the chaos, all of the things that are not of you, God. You had this in your plan, and so we're trusting you right now. We're looking to you, God, and we're saying, just deliver us, God. Deliver us from the evil that is happening in this world, God. We want to see revival. We want to see you victorious. And we know that you can do it, God. So we just pray for our leaders, God. And I just pray, God, that they will turn to you, turn from their wicked ways and turn to you. God, that they can just see the goodness and the glory of you, that they can see your power, that you will show them in their lives, God, that you are the only way. That nothing is good without you, God. So I just pray, God, that they will turn to you, from our mayor to our city council, all the way up to the president, God. We just ask that you will guide their hearts, show them Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show them what they should be doing, and that they will turn to you, God. And we just pray for the children and the youth and all of the parents who are raising children up in this world right now, God. I just ask that you will give us wisdom and to teach our children the right thing, God. That every step that we take, every word that we speak, God, that it will be guided by you, that you will help us and give us correction when we need it, God. And we just give our kids to you, and we give our city to you, and we say thank you, God, that you are taking care of this, that you, we will see you victorious here, God, that we will see lives changed. Like Eric said, one life at a time, God, that you will show us what to do every minute, the next step, that phone call to make, that text to send, no matter what it is, God, that we can see you in our lives working Monday through Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, so good. Hey, before you take a seat, why don't we just take a moment, move from your seat, greet someone, say hi, shake a hand. If they're comfortable, give a hug. Awesome. We have a slide for that. Remember, don't jump the gun. Well, Actually, we don't have a slide for this part. So we are doing, some of you might have seen it, but we're doing a fundraiser for our youth. And if you have Facebook, what I would ask is that you would go to the church's Facebook, One Life Family Worship, and share that we made a video. And yours truly was the star of said video. Anyhow, what we're doing is we're doing a raffle. And so we have three items from a couple different people, places that donated. One is a tactical tag. It's a laser tag down on Yakima Ave. They were so gracious and they donated 1 hour for four people to play. And Caden and I and some of his friends did that a few weeks ago. And I'm telling you, I'm too old to be running around shooting lasers. But it was fun. It was really fun. And so they donated for that. And then CNS Coffee, I don't know if you guys have had, there's three different locations in Yakima. They donated a basket that has a couple different goodies in there. And then my brother-in-law, Terrence Anderson, he's an amazing artist. And he drew a picture of Russell Wilson, God's chosen quarterback. And it's this amazing, amazing photo. I wish I had a photo to show you, but the raffle's $5, and all these items are worth way more than $5. And so this is for you guys to know, but also for you to tell your friends, tell your family, everybody. All the money's going to go to our youth ministry, to camp, to events, to different things that we're hoping to do. So we're going to do the raffle. We're doing it through this week, and on Saturday we're going to announce winners. And so does that all make sense? Oh, how do you donate? A couple different ways. So you could just, if you want to be entered into the raffle, if you want to just give money to the youth, you're always welcome to do that. Just in the offering, you can do that and just write to youth. But you could give money, say specifically, I want to be entered into win the Russell Wilson, drawing. And then, or we have a Venmo, if anybody has Venmo, and it's just at One Life Family Worship is the Venmo. And that's just really easy to just give. And on there, you can tell us which one you want to be entered in. All right. Does that all make sense? Exactly. For every $5, your name goes in for that. Yes. So the more money, the more chances you get. And so go on Facebook, check that out. We wanted to begin just telling everybody about this, and this is for you guys as well, because I think everybody here pretty much knows what's happening between Sundays. But if you have friends or family, are asking, what do you guys have during the week? So youth Monday nights at our house, the Lopez home, and 6 to 8, one of my favorite times of the week. And so junior high school students, that's for them, really fun. And then we have a woman's Zoom meeting and a men's Zoom meeting. Women's is on Tuesdays and men's is on Wednesdays. And then the numbers are there for our pastors to just text them, and you can give out their numbers so they can be a part of that. All right. The next thing... It's not working. Oh, it's not on. Okay. Now, there we go. Last night, we did our first worship night, and it was really, really powerful. Really, really powerful. It was cool is that my friend, I made friends with the youth pastor of Living Faith Victory Center on Knob Hill. And his name is Josh Cook, and him and his family came. And what was really cool about that is that we had another church represented at this worship night. Because, yes, it's for our church family, but it was really cool to just have another church represented there, because it speaks directly to what we're going after. We're going after unity in Yakima. And so, and he even told me he wants to come to the next one, and he wants to bring people. And so it's like, that's cool. So it was really awesome. Worship 6 to 8. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say about it other than if you want to worship, then come. The next one's going to be at the Villalobos home July 10th. We're going to be doing them every second Saturday of the month through the summer. And then we'll cross that bridge when we get there at the end of summer to see if we want to keep going. But it's really nice to get out of the four walls and just to worship. Right? Like, it's really nice just to lift a praise up to the Lord, you know, and super spontaneous, super just like, Lord, whatever you're going to do. Like, we went through a bunch of songs, and Skyline and I didn't even practice. We were just like, all right, here we're going to go see what the Lord does. And it was super powerful. So, so make sure you mark your calendars for that July 10th, 6 to 8. August, we are still looking, correct? We don't have... We do have a home? Okay, so we do have a home for August, and we will announce that come that time. And we don't want to, the last thing is offering. So you could always give online, onelifefamilyworship.com, and use the PayPal link. It makes it super simple to give online, as well as if you ever want to give. We have offering envelopes here. Give to our box, and there's a box out there. And again, that just goes to keep us doing what we do here and sowing into the kingdom of God. Amen. All right. Is that it? And then the map. Yep. Reaching Yakima one life at a time. We really want you guys, when you think about what does my church represent, what is my church about, know that we as a team, we as a leadership team, this is the thing that we're going after, is we're looking at our city and saying, how do we reach this city one life at a time? How do we reach not just the city, but the Yakima Valley? How do we reach the lower valley, the upper valley? How do we reach these places in a practical, practical way? All right. And I'm going to be speaking about it today as well. But my hope and prayers is that you guys as well would begin to just get that in your brain, get that in your spirit of what is my part in reaching the city, reaching the valley one life at a time. What does it look like for me in my workplace, for me in my friend group, in my family, you know, at the grocery store? Like, how do I reach one life at a time? Amen. And so let's just keep that in mind. And Tawny did a great job praying for our leaders. So before I get into my message, I really have a sense that the Lord wants his people to know today that he's really interested in filling you up. In filling you up with his presence. And not just enough, but overflowing. Overflowing. You know, like, God's glory juice here, coffee, okay? If I filled this up to the brim, we could look at this and say, that's full. That's a full cup of coffee, right? Even if I walked around and it was kind of almost spilling, right? But how many of you guys know, like, that is not the filling that God is looking for? He's looking for an overflowing. This thing isn't full until I'm overflowing. And that is the picture I believe God wants for us to see. And what does it look like for me to get full of his presence? Well, it's not just me being filled to the brim. It's me overflowing to the point where when I go out, when I leave this place, when I go into my home, when I go into my workplace, when I go to wherever I'm going, that wherever I am, I'm just gushing full of the Lord. And to the point where it is impossible for people around me not to get impacted by the Lord. Why? Because I'm so full that I don't even have to say anything, but the presence of God is so deep inside of me that it just impacts the world around me. How many of you guys want that? How many of you guys want to be full of the Lord? Come on. This needs to be our prayer. This needs to be our heart, is that we would not just be content, not just be satisfied with, well, I did my devotion, so I'm good. Or I went to my church service, so I'm good. Or I listened to the worship song, so I'm good. But instead, God, I want to be so full of you. So full of you. And there's practicalities around how we can do that. But I would say the most easiest way, okay, is that we just know who God is in our life. How do we stay full? We know our place on this earth. We know our identity as a son and as a daughter. That's how we stay full. Amen? So I want to talk about preparing for revival. To prepare for revival. In simple definition, revival, something is not alive and we're reviving it. Right? Many people have defined it. You know, there's tons of different definitions. And when we're talking about church context, and I think those are great. But the simplest thing is taking something that is not alive and bringing back to life, to revive it. Our city, our valley is in desperate need of a revival. In desperate need. And it's not just the pastors of the church. It's not just the city council. It's not just the city leaders that can do it. We play a part in that as well. What would happen if the church, not the church building, the church, you and I, stepped in to our ownership for seeing revival in our city, seeing revival in our county, and operated out of that place, what would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. We would begin to see lives changed and transformed. Transformed. Not just, I was doing this thing and now I'm not doing this thing, but actually I was doing this thing and I have no desire to even look that way anymore because I'm transformed from the inside out. Transformed. When we started doing Transform, what do we call it? Transform 2-4? Transform 2-4, they were like our encounter, you know, what our encounters weekends turned into Transform 2-4. And when we began doing those, I had this sense, actually I was in Reading, I wasn't even here, and I knew that Transformed was happening, and I remember texting Pastor Mike saying, I have this word, because I feel like people are looking to go get, to be transformed, but really what they're thinking is like a transformer. You guys know the movies and the cartoon Transformers, right? More than meets the eye. Is that the Transformers, right? And if you think of a transformer, okay, just stick with me for a second. Transformers, they are a car or a tank or a jet or whatever it is, and they transform into the robot, right? Into the other thing. But then what happens? They go back to the car or the plane or the tank or whatever, right? And sometimes what can happen is we go to church or we go to an encounter or a retreat and we become a transformer because then we get changed and we get good teaching and we get excited. But then the week goes by and now we're a transformer and we just back to the thing that we were before. God's not calling us to be a transformer. He's calling us to be transformed. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Of your heart, right? Is that it's not just that we change from one day to the next, but actually we get transformed and we move into something new, into new life. So I want to read a verse. This is Mark 1-8. And it says this, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah, the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Preparing a way, being prepared. When I was 19, I made my first big purchase. I purchased a 98 GMC Sonoma. It was a little pickup truck. And, you know, why I got a little pickup truck, I don't know. You think about things you do when I was an adult, but essentially a teenager. And Nancy and I were dating. It's like, you would think like, if I'm going to buy a car, I should probably buy a car that could help me like build, you know, facilitate a family. I already had the girl, Gaylene. So she got with me when I had the 89 Ford Escort. So I already knew. Okay. She wasn't dating me from my car. But I bought this pickup truck. And again, why, I don't know. Like I'm not like a dude that like hauls stuff and like goes off roading. Like I was like, cool, look at my pickup truck. Right. So I got this pickup truck, my first big purchase, and I've been driving it for about a week. And, I was like, wow, this truck does super good on gas. It has been full since I drove it off the lot. Full tank. This is amazing. I made a great investment. I'm smart. I'm a smart man. I'm a man now. Okay. And one day I'm on my way to work and I turn off Knob Hill on the 24th headed to work. right by the Safeway right there. And it just dies. And I'm like, and so I thankfully had enough momentum to coast into the parking lot. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, I just signed my life away, the next 5 years, which is my life, to this vehicle. And it's a week in and it died. It's broken. And I know nothing about vehicles. I don't know. So I call my stepdad. He's like, hey, I don't know what's going on. Car died. I need to get to work. And he's like, all right, I'm on my way. He leaves work. He comes. Can you guys guess what was the issue? I know gas. The gas gauge was broken. Okay. And so I was definitely not prepared for that situation. Okay. It looked like if you looked at my gauges and you looked at like I had a clean truck and I was like, you're prepared to take on life, but I was not prepared. All right. The Lord is calling us to get prepared. We can talk about revival all day, but until we start taking action steps to getting prepared, it's all just words. There's many churches, there's many Christian leaders that are screaming from the mountaintop, revival! But there's no action, there's no preparation taking place. And you and I, we have a role to take to get prepared. I love what it says in the Passion Translation for verse 3, Mark 1:3. It says, he is a thunderous voice of one who shouts in the wilderness. Prepare your hearts for the coming of the Lord Yahweh, and a clear, straight path inside your heart for him. Prepare your hearts. It's also an internal preparation that needs to take place. Because revival can happen and exciting things can happen. But if we're not actually doing the work inside, then we're not ready for when it comes. We're not ready to pour out. We need to move from talking about revival to preparing for revival. We can't just hope that it happens. We can't just hope, oh, I hope this happens. You guys ever pray just hoping, right? Just pray, just like it's less of a prayer to God, because let me tell you, prayer to God is making an exchange, saying, God, I'm praying for this thing, and so I'm saying, God, here is all my worries, here is all the things that I want to see happen. I'm making an exchange now, giving you that, and then in turn, you give me the hope. You give me what I need to move into the next thing of this, right? So praying isn't just, I'm throwing it up there. God, here's the stuff. Hope you catch it, right? It's actually, no, I'm making an exchange with you, God. I'm praying for revival. It means that I'm giving you my city. I'm praying for, this could go to anything. I'm praying for my marriage. That means I'm giving you my marriage. I'm praying for my children. I'm giving you my children. Praying for my health. I'm giving you my body. Okay. It's an exchange that's happening when we pray. Okay. So Matthew 25, 1 through 13 says this, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. In essence, be prepared. Your success will be greatly determined on how you prepare. Is your lamp prepared? Have you prepared yourself for the things that you are contending for? Have you been more concerned about what the lamp looks like and less concerned about what's on the inside?
Because I didn't have the baby, but when Nancy was pregnant, okay. I know I've told this story before. Nancy, you know, we were 20 years old. And she came to me and told me, no, we weren't 20, we were 21. And she came to me and she told me she's pregnant, right? And again, I'm a young man, barely an adult, okay? Obviously buying vehicles I know nothing about and stuff, right? Like, and so barely an adult, like who gave me permission to have kids? I don't know, okay? But she comes to me and she tells me she's pregnant. And you know, I immediately wasn't excited. I just didn't know how to tell my face what I was feeling on the inside. So she told me, I'm pregnant. You're going to be a dad. And I sat there for a second, just like, oh. And what was happening in my mind is, if you know me at all, like my mind works a lot faster than like my mouth, and you know, and so I was just thinking of all the things that we have to do, right? Like all the like, we had at the time, we were living in a triplex, and we had two rooms because I needed an office. For what? I don't know. And I had like Spider-Man paraphernalia everywhere. Okay. 21, just remind you. Okay. And my mind went directly to that room. What do I do with all my Spider-Man stuff? Right. What do I do with all my stuff? Right. And so anyhow, I eventually got to the point where I was like, oh, this is exciting. I'm happy. But then there was a preparation that needed to take place. And even more than that, even more than getting the room ready, I knew that not only wasn't was not the room ready, but I wasn't ready. Like, I wasn't actually to the place where I felt like I was ready as a man to take on what was about to come, our Skyly Rain. So I had this moment with the Lord. I'm newly saved, by the way, probably about a year and a half into Christianity, figuring all this out, figuring, do I even believe what this is? Do I even like this church? Do I even like Pastor Mike? Like, I'm like trying to figure all this out, right? No, I loved them, right? But I'm trying to figure this out. And I came to this moment where I had this realization that I want to have a great kid. I want to have a kid that listens, a kid that is, you know, an upright citizen, a kid that, just a great kid, an awesome kid, a fun kid. But ultimately what I want is I want a kid that loves Jesus, right? Like, I came to my mind, I want a kid that loves Jesus. And I didn't know it at the time, but Holy Spirit was speaking to me saying, you can't give that kid the love of Jesus until you have the love of Jesus inside of you. There's something you have to do to prepare yourself to give that kid that love of Christ before you can expect that kid to have the love of Christ. So for the next, 9 months, I was on this journey, and I was in my Bible every morning reading my Bible. I was praying. Like, Nancy would be laying down and I'd be reading my Bible to her stomach. Okay. Like, just things like that I would do. And then what happens is, you know, February 6th comes, and not that I was the perfect person at that time, but I was better prepared for that moment to bring this little girl into our lives, to raise her up in the things that I felt God wanted us to build our family, because I took action steps for preparation. Because again, I knew that without me getting deep in the Lord, without me getting filled up, I was going to have nothing to pour out, right? I might have had some good sermon notes to pull from. I might have had, you know, some good worship songs to put on. But I knew ultimately, if I wanted my family, my legacy, to get deep in, to become a deep well in the Lord, I needed to become that. So, what's in your lamp? This is important. We got to think, how am I preparing my heart? And am I less concerned about what's on the inside and more concerned about what it looks like on the outside? Catherine Kuhlman's a revivalist. She has this statement. She said, God's not looking for a perfect vessel. He's looking for a willing vessel. He's not looking for the most perfect, shiny vessel that has it all put together. No cracks, no blemishes. It looks beautiful. He's looking for one that's saying, God, use me. Use me in my mess. Use me in where I'm at right now. Use me. Not one person in here is unqualified to get used by the Lord. In this revival for our city, I'm looking at a room full of people that have a place in this revival. So Ephesians 3, this is in the Passion, 18 and 19, says, then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Overflowing. You can't pour out if you're not filled up. If you're just filled to the brim, if you're just filled halfway or you're filled three quarters of a way, it needs to be overflowing. Overflowing in all you do. The second thing is this, are you taking ownership? Some of you guys have lived here a long time, right? I've been here, I mean, you know, minus the eight years we were gone. You know, I was here since I was five. You know, Nancy was here since she was 9, 10 years old in this area, right? Some of you guys longer. We have to take ownership over our city. If we want to impact an area, we have to first take ownership over it, right? The reason why I have an impact over my family is because I take ownership over my family. They're not just those people that live with me, those people that, you know, eat my food and, you know, make me stop at Starbucks to get coffee. And that, like, they're not just people. Like, no, I take ownership, right? I take responsibility, right? When my daughter forgets there's something in the oven, I go get it out. Why? Because I take ownership over our home, right? And I'm going to help her when she's not thinking properly. All right. Are you taking ownership over our city? Here you go. Matthew 25, 8 through 8, 8 and 9's NIV says, the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. The foolish ones may have thought, I am taking ownership over this. I brought my lamp with oil. But they actually didn't have complete ownership over the situation. Otherwise, they would have become prepared with the amount of oil that they needed. The other ones had complete ownership because they knew, listen, if I give you oil, even if it's a little bit, I may not have enough for me. I'm taking ownership over my responsibility for this, for my part in this, and I'm going to have you go take ownership over you. No one can do it for you. And the last thing is this, are you ready for an encounter? Are you ready for an encounter? Now this word can be a little bit mysterious. What does that mean? We hear it, right? We used to use it for our retreats, encounter weekend, right? And essentially what it means is that when we encounter somebody, when we encounter God, we come into contact with him. It's not just he's far away over there and I get to see him from afar, but actually no, I get to come up close to him and encounter him. Right? I get to embrace him. I get to share my heart with him. It's deeper than just me thinking about a God that I believe in, or talking about a God that I believe in, but actually encountering a God that I believe in. You know, my wife, the reason why our relationship becomes real, not when I just tell somebody, oh yeah, I have a wife, I wear the ring, here's some pictures of us when we got married, you know, here's proof that we love each other with our children. But when our relationship becomes real, when we encounter one another, when we're in each other's presence. So are you ready for an encounter? In this verse in Matthew 25:6 in the Passion said, then suddenly in the middle of the night, they were awakened by the shout, get up, the bridegroom is here, come out and have an encounter with him. This is what Yakima needs. Yakima is looking for an encounter. Yakima is looking for an encounter and they don't even know it. And you know what? You guys get to be the encounter. We're not only going to experience an encounter, but we get to be an encounter. And again, I'm gonna keep punching this home. An encounter isn't limited to a church. An encounter isn't limited to a Sunday morning between 10:45 and noon. Encounter, if it was, and you know, it's almost noon. Encounter time's almost over, folks. But no, that's not how it works. We get to leave this place and get to be an encounter. But the choice is yours. The choice is, am I going to actually make the decision to be an encounter wherever I go? Or am I going to treat this Christianity like a sport that I just spectate? Am I going to sit on the stands and watch everybody else, all the other holy people do this stuff because I'm not worthy? And God called me to be his son and daughter, but he called me to sit over here on the bench and just be a seat warmer. No, no, no. God's actually saying, hey, I called you to the game. Yeah, but God, you don't know me. You don't know my life. You don't know. I can't impact this world. I can't impact this city. You know what I've done in this city. You know where I've been in this city. And God's saying, hey, you are here for a specific reason. I could have put you anywhere, and I chose to put you here in the Northwest, in Central Washington, in Yakima Valley. Why? So you can be an encounter. Not so you can sit in church. Not so you can just, you know, go to another event and feel goosebumps about, you know, them singing blessings again. Not for that reason, but so you can actually be an encounter. Be an encounter. Worship team, we guys come up. We're going to sing one last song. Pastor Mike gave this call last week, and I'm going to give it again because I think there's something significant in when you make a decision that moves from being internal to outward. And I'm going to ask you this question. If you are saying yes to, I want to be an encounter to my city, I want to have a part in impacting my city. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it looks like either. I don't have all the answers. I don't have the practicalities to give you to say, hey, these are how you're going to do this, okay? And we're praying about it. And we're working on it as a church. But if you are saying yes, I want to be an encounter to my city. I want to prepare for revival in the Yakima Valley. I want you to get out of your seat, and I want us to fill the altar right here as a declaration to me saying yes. Me saying yes. And we're going to worship, and we're going to sing this song over the Yakima Valley. All right? Amen? Amen. Thank you.
we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to be educated in some certain type of way to reach others, Lord. All we have to be is someone that's willing to be used. Lord, and we do. We commit ourselves to you today again. Use us, Lord. Use us, Lord, to reach someone, Lord, that was like us, Lord, when we didn't know you. Lord, use us, Lord, to reach that one life. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that anyone that feels inadequate, Lord, that that lie of the enemy would be broken off of their lives, and that they would realize that you are the one that lives in them. You have equipped them. You've given them everything they need that pertains to life and godliness. They're fully ready, Lord, to be used by you, Lord, to reach their family, to reach their workplace, to reach their friends, their neighbors. God, they're ready, Lord, because you have made them ready. So, Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would just give them divine appointments. Open up doors of opportunity. You're the one that opens doors that no one can close and closes doors that no one can open. Lord, give them opportunities, Lord, to speak a word of encouragement, opportunities to share your love for them, Lord. Give them opportunities, if nothing else, to just shake their hand and say, it's nice to meet you. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to step outside of our safe boundaries, Lord, outside our mask that seemed to give us, Lord, a security blanket, Lord. I pray that we would step beyond, Lord, any of our fears, any of our anxiousness, Lord, and step into the anointing that you have given us to walk in. Lord, we know that signs are meant to follow believers, Lord, so I pray that we would step out in such a way that the signs would have to follow. Lord, that there would be just supernatural works that would be done, Lord. Supernatural works, Lord, that are unexplainable, that people can only attest, Lord, it must be God. It has to be something else other than coincidence. Lord, we pray that opportunities would come that make it so that you are lifted up and that they point to you. And we can say, that's Jesus. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. And so, Lord, I just bless everyone, Lord, that's standing here right now. Lord, I pray that you give them between this next Sunday, Lord, opportunities, and they'll have testimony, Lord, of what you have done. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Well, amen. Well, praise the Lord. So go and reach one. Amen.